Anything worth saying is worth talking about. Deprogram with Michael Parker on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the Michael Parker Show. This is your host, Owen Stevens, filling in for Michael Parker. We were just joined by Dr. Richard Maximus Fleming. We talked about the vaccine. We talked about COVID-19, obesity, all of the misinformation traveling around there, and then what we can do about it. The things that we can do as American citizens, we the people, to to actually act, to influence, you know, the things going on around us like we should be doing, like we used to be able to do. We are joined now by James Roguski. James Roguski has been calling out lies and propaganda for decades. His work can be found at jamesroguski.com or jamesroguski@.substack.com. James Roguski, how are you today?
I'm good, except that I'm sad that I missed Dr. Fleming. I just got on a few moments ago. I would have loved to have heard what he had to say. I am a big fan of something that he might not have even spoken about, the studies that he did way back in 2020. I don't know if you all got a chance to talk about that, but I'm going to have to go catch the recording on that one. He led the way, and I'm proud to be following him on your show. That's wonderful to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think what we discussed was linked to inflammatory disease, the role of obesity, and then actually, funny enough, we talked about food. We talked about the American diet and how Americans are not getting the requisite nutrients that they need in their body. All of this is leading to disease. We talked about the Fleming method. And then we finished off with, you know, the vaccine and, you know, the dangers and risks that it, you know, that it poses. What is your view on this vaccine? Obviously, the one size fits all narrative has been pushed, you know, from the very beginning. We're trying to push a drug, a, you know, very controversial solution to a very big problem, a very big issue. And it's negatively affecting people's health across the world. We have athletes who are the most healthy people alive, and these athletes are dying suddenly out of nowhere at 22 years of age. NFL players dropping on the field, soccer players dropping on the field, and we don't know why. You know, doctors are just saying sudden cause of death unknown, adult death syndrome, whatever they want to say. All of these crazy, you know, just deaths out of nowhere, a giant rise in ambulance visits and emergency room visits due to heart issues. It's like all of these coincide with this experimental vaccine that has been administered to people. What do you think about this vaccine going forward, and, you know, the lies that have been, you know, told from the very beginning about its efficacy?
If you can indulge me, I just got a comment an hour ago on an article that I wrote on Substack. And I would like to honor the person who wrote the comment, because I think it's about the best answer. I don't want to take credit for what I'm about to read. If I may, I'm just going to read this person's comment, okay? For those that have been paying attention during the so-called pandemic, the predicament we find ourselves in should now be abundantly clear. It all stems from the fundamental misconception that we need to develop, quote unquote, vaccines to counteract diseases that we may have in the future. And as a consequence, in order to develop such vaccines, then the so-called scientists have to make the actual disease in the lab in order to both make the vaccine for it and have a sample to test the vaccine against. Then, just like a bad horror film, the dreaded disease somehow leaks out and mayhem ensues, which acts to justify the whole pharma circus act, because no one can quite work out which came first, the disease or the vaccine. It's only when you apply the simplest type of reductive logic and ask yourself, what would have happened if we didn't try to develop a vaccine for a disease that doesn't yet exist? Everything else is just puffery and smoke and mirrors designed to obscure the basic insanity. And so I couldn't said it better. The way we find ourselves in this mess, number one, on September 1st, 2021, the CDC changed the definition of a vaccine. So I don't use that word ever anymore. I refer to injections or, you know, some other phrase, because It used to be that a vaccine was something that resulted in the person developing immunity. And immunity meant you didn't get the disease, you didn't spread the disease, you know, the disease stopped if it, you know, if it tried to get you, it didn't have a chance because you had developed immunity. Well, there is no legal definition for the word vaccine that I have been able to find anywhere in US law, international law, anywhere else. It's only a definition that exists on the CDC website, which for all intents and purposes has the legal authority as the same as my blog. Okay, it's just them putting words on a website that people then somehow think means something. So they changed the definition of that word on their website, not in the law, not in regulations, not in international law, just, you know, it's their way of manipulating the language to mean something that stimulates an immune response. And by that, what they're really implying is if they stick something in you, your immune system's going to respond. They can measure that response. And then they say, okay, well, that's a vaccine. Well, the measurement of that response doesn't need to include that you don't get the disease, you don't transmit the disease, you're protected from the disease, you don't die. It just gives your immune system something to do. And so the insanity in which we find ourselves, I mean, I have to give credit to the person who posted that comment. Thank you so much. They start with, well, you know, our enemies might try to use bioterrorism and they might try to change, you know, a spike protein by injecting some HIV or a furin cleavage site. So we need to do it first so that we can, you know, pretend to make an injection that'll trigger your immune system to deal with that. And then the insanity ensues. And so what I'm mostly focused on, and would love to talk to you about if it's a topic you want to get into, a little bit more than a week ago, The Lancet, which I had always been under the false impression was a medical journal, they published a report. Their Lancet COVID-19 commission report was published on the 14th. And one of the things that they recommended is that the WHO should be put in charge of overseeing gain of function research on a worldwide basis. And as part of, you know, financing that, they only want to start a global fund with $60 billion a year. Now, that's not all for gain of function, but the insanity of putting an organization such as the World Health Organization in charge of overseeing gain of function, as opposed to just outlining it, you know, as it is supposed to be. I mean, it's essentially biological warfare research and development. So I think the question was, what do I think about the vaccine? You couldn't pay me all the money in the world to get any of them. Because
yeah, same here.
Because I'm not convinced that I would rather die the way I've seen people, not personally, but, you know, seen a record of people dying and suffering. I'll take my chance with any dis-ease that the universe may have ready for me. When it's my time to leave the planet, it'll be my time to leave the planet, and whatever it is that gets me, I don't fear death enough to do something that would kill me. The insanity is absurd.
One of the things I want to address is, you know, when this comes to kids, when this issue, you know, as it pertains to children, this is where I get most angry, right? Because kids do not have the ability to consent, okay? And they're trusting their parents to know what's best for them. That's what they're doing. They're trusting their parents. And parents who do not know, you can't really blame them. I mean, if you just don't know, if you've never been made aware of how dangerous these things are, I mean, your kid is now going to live his entire life with this thing in his body with no way to take it out. And that's just horrible. That's such a horrible thing that's been inflicted on a generation of kids for no reason, because they were not at risk of dying from this disease at all. I want to talk about my brother, and my mom was not aware of vaccines when I was a kid. I'm the oldest of five. So I had a few vaccines. I got a few vaccines. And it wasn't until this certain shot came around called the HPV vaccine that she started to really become aware, you know, to how dangerous these things could be. She started hearing stories and researching what had been going on with vaccine injury as a result of this HPV vaccine that people had been taking to protect themselves during sex. Oftentimes, teenagers experiencing horrible side effects as a result of this HPV vaccine. They're paralyzed, dealing with a lot of, you know, issues with their brain and their central nervous system as a result of this vaccine. So after all of this, you know, she had this awakening, as I think a lot of people did, as to the history behind these vaccines and the truth as to their the implications and their implementation in the past, such as the smallpox, for instance, and all of these things, that there's been this singular narrative for so long that no one has bothered to question, because it's just assumed that vaccines are there for the benefit of mankind, and that whoever makes them and whoever continues to make them is completely altruistic without any flaw whatsoever. But that's not true. What we find is that that's never true about anything. And what now we're seeing right now, this vaccine come along. So I didn't take this vaccine because I was lucky enough that my parents woke up. And I, you know, when this thing was pushed out, if I was a kid, if I was a teenager without the parents that I had, who knows, maybe I would have taken it. Maybe I would have taken it, because seldom do you find young people who are this aware about what is going on and who care this deeply about what is going on to reject a vaccine that is pushed so hard by the culture and by the society. Like, seldom do you find those types of kids. So right now, my youngest brother, who was just born, and he is the youngest of five now, has not a single vaccine. He doesn't have a chickenpox vaccine. He doesn't have a tetanus shot. He's got nothing. And he is doing fine. He doesn't even get sick. We're relying on his natural immunity, his natural immune system, which is not something that people have done for a long time. Most kids have vaccines of some sort. I have a few that I wish I didn't have. Now, looking back on how they were created, most of these coming out of a stem cells from an aborted fetus. These things that are completely unethical, completely against what I believe in and what many Christians believe in. And I think that hopefully, as a result of this vaccine, this COVID shot, a lot of other people are going to wake up and then not give their kids a single one, which I think is going to actually raise a generation of kids free from this medical tyranny, you know, altogether, which I think is a very encouraging thing. So talk a little bit about, you know, children and this vaccine and how dangerous it really is for them.
Even before they really started pushing it into that age group, back in January, I came upon the information that the FDA had authorized for emergency use in infants on an outpatient basis, injectable remdesivir. And that, you know, that I've had so many lines in the sand, you know, going back decades, you know, I've been aware of this. I'm 62 years old. And so the last 25 plus years of my life, I've been, you know, in this, having a much more clear-eyed view of what's really going on. So quite frankly, none of this was really a surprise. This is part of their plan, okay? But when I saw that they would authorize the injection of remdesivir into infants, you know, a part of me just went ballistic, okay? And wrote a couple of articles about it, try to get this information, you know, out to the public in a bigger way. And it was shortly after writing that article that all of my websites that I had worked on for more than a decade, and I had six that were completely dedicated to the COVID issues, all magically disappeared from the internet. And so, you know, I figured I must have been over the target, because the issue that I think I can summarize very, very succinctly and concisely and just get right to the point. If you think that there's money to be made in healing people so that they don't need treatment. Okay. You're living in a different world because the business model is that the pharmaceutical industry applies toxic man-made compounds that change the symptoms that a patient notices. So they think it did them some good while it's actually poisoning them in different ways. So that give it a month, give it 2 months, give it some time. Okay. The symptom that you were concerned about will be counterbalanced by a symptom caused by the new poisonous drug. And then the side effects or other symptoms caused by the poisonous drug start to crop up. People don't connect the dots to the drug that they're taking. They go back to the doctors. They get another poison to change their symptoms. A couple of months later, I mean, I've heard of people on as up to as many as 17 medications. Okay. I'm sure there are people who've had more. And when the latest injections came out, you know, I would, you know, most, if I called it this, people wouldn't necessarily comprehend it right off the bat, but these injections are customer acquisition products. Okay. They're given away for free. People allow their bodies to be injected with a cocktail of God knows what. Okay. And they cause health problems either immediately, which is less than ideal for the drug companies, but ideally it causes a wealth of health related, you know, health problems far enough in the future that people don't put the connection together that it was the shot that ultimately messed up their system. And the one bit of data that I'm frustrated that I haven't been able to get my hands on yet, and I don't know if I ever will be, is if you could isolate people who have not been injected and get the data of how much money per person has been billed from the medical establishment on those people, meaning they went to the hospital, they went to the doctor, whatever, and treatment and such was done to non-injected people. And then look at the amount of money that injected people have been spending to deal with the issues that they have that they don't necessarily relate to the injection. I think that data, when that data comes out, it should make people's heads spin because people such as myself, and from what you've said, people such as yourself, the last place in the world you could ever find me voluntarily is at a doctor's office or at a hospital or a clinic. Okay.
Yeah.
There's not going to be any billing done on me. And so I'm really bad for business. Whereas people who've been injected, the money is flowing like crazy. And people, that's the system. That's the purpose. Mm-hmm. The purpose is not to prevent you from getting COVID. The purpose is to trick you into thinking that somebody was there to try to help you. And they're actually, they don't really want to kill you. You know, there's a whole depopulation, you know, issue going on. They want you feeling like you're going to die so they can keep, you know, it's really the new pandemic is a disease that's really should be called cha-ching. Okay. Hey, you've got cha-ching disease. All right. We're going to, you know, write you up and diagnose you. And we got to do this test and we got to do that test.
Yeah.
We got to take this. You got to take that. And you say, nowhere are they able to say, oh, you're suffering from vaccine injury. Okay. That's not even a billable code in any insurance plan. Okay.
Yeah.
They misname you Guillain-Barré syndrome, or, you know, now I've heard, the one that really gets me is childhood dementia. And it's like, well, I wonder what causes that.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, well, we got to go to break really quick. We got to go to break, but we will be joined by James Roguski right after a short break, everybody.
You should hear what Jesse Zirawell is talking about.
In addition to calling up 300,000 reservists, which does not include conscripts or university students, Putin has made some what could be described as inflammatory statements, if I can use that cliche, regarding the possible use of nuclear weapons.
In Russian language media, I mean, especially among hardliners, like people who really support the special operation, they're saying this is really, really bad because, first of all, territorial gains aside, what basically has happened is that Russia took control of territory, and then those Ukrainians who wanted to cooperate with Russia and consider themselves Russian, if the idea here was that Russia was going to go into Ukraine to protect ethnic Russians, to guarantee that, you know, Ukrainians can speak Russian and live in harmony and peace with Russia, the problem is that all these territories that Russia goes into, they're not guaranteeing that they're staying, you know? And sometimes, in some cases, they say like, oh yeah, we're here forever. And then, you know, a month later, they leave. How can you do this? It's so self-defeating, and it makes cooperation or welcoming the Russian military as liberty is impossible. It's like a death sentence.
Jesse Zirawell on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
The story behind the biggest election takeover in history.
We're only now being able to finally confirm exactly how this worked.
Mark Zuckerberg and his wife are donating more money to local governments ahead of the election. $100 million on top of a $300 million gift.
The most money any individual has ever spent to win a presidential campaign in the history of our country.
The election was bought way before Election Day.
They stole it fair and square. They changed the voting rules in the middle of the game.
A nation divided, rigged.
It was a rigged election. People have to find out what happened.
At SalemNow.com.
For the news and views you can't hear anywhere else.
You guys are talking about everything that I just wanted to ask about.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the Michael Parker Show. This is your host, Owen Stevens. I am joined by James Roguski. He's been calling out lies and propaganda for decades. And man, good thing we have him on because there is a lot of lies and there's a lot of propaganda right now. One of the most, you know, in your face evidence, you know, you're looking for evidence of propaganda in your daily life, go to Facebook, go to Instagram, go to Twitter. Beneath each post that you post that has a hashtag about vaccine, that has a hashtag about COVID-19, has anything in relation, you know, to anything about this disease, there's a little link that they put on the bottom of your post. They put it there that says, you know, want more information about COVID-19? Click here. And when you click there, it takes you to this, you know, whole web page with all of this information, with all of this spamming, you know, crap about the vaccine, about COVID, about what you need to do to keep yourself safe, you know, and all of this, all of these lies on every single post. It's like every single social media company is involved and is perpetuating this. It's spiraling out of control. You cannot get adequate information. If you post this kind of stuff, it'll be taken down. So I think one of the things that we need to do is start writing things on paper as much as possible. A return to physical evidence instead of this, you know, reliance on online evidence and data, which can be whitewashed, which can be scrubbed, which can be completely taken out by these people that control all of the power, that have access to Google, that have access. It's like what happened to Parler. Parler, that, you know, was supposedly about free speech, they deplatformed it completely. That's what they're capable of doing. That's what Google can do. That's what Instagram, Twitter, these top-notch people can do to limit your access to information that they deem incorrect or not adhering to their particular agenda and narrative. So that's one of the most dangerous things. What do you think about the role that social media has played in this, you know, propaganda rising up, especially as it relates to COVID-19?
Oh, my experience with the media goes back again 30 years. You know, they do not care about, again, you have to look at the business model. They literally do not care about their audience. They work for the people who pay the bills. Primarily, it's the advertisers. But, you know, in this COVID time, billions of dollars have come directly from the government to the advertising agencies and, you know, Hollywood and influencers and things like that. You know, people who are paid to push the narrative. Many of them, you know, certainly at the beginning, really, you know, probably did believe what, you know, they said, and they put out music and they put out, you know, artwork and all kinds of things. At this point now, you have to really be living under a rock to, you know, still be doing that. Okay. And so as a hybrid, because what you said is very pertinent, you know, about having physical, tangible things that you can share with other people. Someone unbeknownst to me took one of the graphic images from my Stop the WHO website and had it printed and mailed it out in Minnesota. And I started getting phone calls from people in Minnesota because I give everybody my phone number. It's 310-619-3055. You know, text me, call me, whatever. But they actually put my phone number, because it was part of the graphic, on this piece that they mailed. And so I started getting phone calls. Hey, I received a postcard from you. I'm like, you did? Okay. But had wonderful conversation with a number of people. And, you know, however you reach people, some people, they only communicate via text. Some people talk on the phone. You know, nowadays, it's some kind of social media or whatever it may be. The reality is, speak to different people in the manner in which they are able to receive that information. Obviously, people listening to this, you know, radio broadcast, it's an auditory thing. Some people learn better when they hear the spoken word than trying to read it or see it. You know, a lot of people, it's video. But, you know, one of the things that I think possibly will have the potential to backfire on the powers that be is, let me see if I can say this cryptically. One electromagnetic pulse could really ruin the vaccine passport system. Okay? They're putting all of their hopes in this digitized, you know, universally, you know, set up tracking and data collection mechanism. But then there's other people who are saying, oh, well, you know, if there was a solar flare, there was some other kind of problem where the grid went down, all that electronic stuff goes to nothing. You know, I disconnected for a vacation around the 4th of July. I took some time off and stayed away from the computer. And let me tell you, life got better fast. Okay. You know, it's just like in the real world, things are okay. You know, it's in this digital world where we're just bombarded by, you know, fear mongering, that everything is scary. Now I'm not saying disconnect and, you know, live in your own, you know, made up, you know, make believe world. But you know, be prepared to get back to nature and disconnect from your phone. And, you know, then you soon realize how addicted you are and how bad the information is when you actually get out and you talk to real people and you go and you do real things.
We got to go to news real quick. We'll be right back on with James Roguski right after a short news break.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Former President Trump continues to insist he declassified all the records amid the probe into what the FBI sees from his Mar-a-Lago home. There was a second earthquake in Mexico this week, where one woman was killed falling down the stairs of her home while a man died of a heart attack. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is asking allied nations for more support in his country's fight against Russia. He appeared virtually in a pre-recorded message to the UN Assembly on Wednesday afternoon.
If you miss your favorite TNT radio show or interview, simply listen back when you want, wherever you want. Just visit episodes on the TNT radio website. We're also on all major podcast platforms, including Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Podbean, iHeart, and TuneIn. Now there's no reason to miss out on anything on TNT radio.
Welcome back to the Michael Parker Show. This is your host, Owen Stevens, filling in for Michael Parker. We are joined by James Roguski. I want to take it back to something that we were talking about earlier, which is the financial gain the financial incentive, you know, the virus of cha-ching, like you said, which I think is a very funny and accurate way to put this, which is that these vaccines, this disease in general, were rolled out and they are making big money on this. Doctors see this as an opportunity to make big bucks. They see huge dollar signs on these vaccines. These companies, the same thing. They've distributed these to everybody. The lies are there because they're making a lot of money off of it. They're making money off of you being sick. If you were unhealthy, that's where they want you, because then you have to go to them to become, like I said last, you know, with our last guest, with Dr. Fleming, I said, you know, you have to go to these doctors if you're unhealthy to become quote unquote healthy again, because the lie is that if you take their drugs, if you take what they're feeding you, then you're going to be in a better spot. But that's not true. You know, it's much more difficult to take control of your health individually. It's a lot more difficult because you have to limit, you know, the food that you eat. You have to make sure that you have proper nutrition, that you're getting exercise, that you're doing these things that are practical, natural ways to limit your body's exposure to disease and maximize your body's ability to fight disease. Those are the most important things you can do. And they're much more difficult. So people would rather take the easy way out of eating whatever they want, sitting on their couch, you know, being lazy. And then when they need medical help because they're unhealthy and susceptible to disease, they have to go to the doctor to get a medicine that does it for them. What kind of life is that? That's a horrible way to live. Take responsibility for your own body. Don't rely on some doctor for your health, because that doctor doesn't care about your health. He cares about the money he's going to get based off the services that he's providing you for you being fat. So don't do that, everybody. Don't be that kind of person. Okay. Take it into your own hands. Be responsible. It's a good thing to do. It'll help you live a good life. Plus, it's something you also want to teach kids. You want to teach kids to take responsibility for their own body, to take responsibility for their own health. I mean, I want to even talk about the transgender issue right now, which, you know, linking it back to money, a lot of these doctors, a lot of these hospitals, a lot of these colleges with this woke narrative interjected inside of them, with a bunch of these woke people working, you know, inside of these hospitals and as these doctors, they see dollar signs on numerous things. One of them is transgender surgery, gender affirming surgery, $40,000 per patient for removing a little kid's breasts. Yeah, it's $20,000 to reconstruct a little girl's private area down below. This is what's happening. They're monetizing everything. They're monetizing mutilation right now in these hospitals. We need to stand up against this, because this is an absolute attack, not only against our freedom, but against human dignity, human decency. You know, they're stealing children's futures from out from under their feet by depriving them of the wonders and how beautiful it is to be a mother. They're depriving them of the ability to sexually procreate. They're depriving them of the ability to live healthy, normal lives as a man or a woman. Instead, they have to live as a deprived human who's, you know, who has no idea who they are, what they are, or their purpose. This is an absolute attack against humanity. What do you think about the monetization of, like I said, mutilation right now with these transgender surgeries? This, you know, they're calling it gender affirming care, but it's plain and simply put, mutilation.
I'll answer that question in a slightly different way than maybe you hope, because as horrible as what you just said is, let me use the C word, and it's not COVID, it's cancer. Okay. And so I just recently had someone contact me, because I have a website, Natural Cancer Cures and .org, and people ask me all the time about this. And I give a very, very simple answer. Okay. Doctors are only allowed to talk about certain things to treat cancer. They can talk about radiation, they can talk about chemotherapy, they can talk about surgery, and therein is mutilation on a multitude of levels, okay? And they're not allowed to talk about anything else. And so I just simply ask people, if you think, you know, poisoning yourself with chemicals that on the label say they cause cancer, or if you think that shooting radiation into your body, which is known to cause cancer, or taking a knife and cutting something out of your body, if you think any of those, or I should say the lack of radiation, the lack of poisonous chemicals, or the lack of a, you know, surgical procedure is what caused the problem in the first place, then what makes you think that unless you make changes, that problem isn't going to find you again? unless you are willing, and you mentioned something earlier about people, you know, who are not willing to make the changes. And really, that's how the medical establishment has preyed upon people. And to use an analogy, if you went to a mechanic because there was a light on your dashboard, right? That light on your car's dashboard is analogous to you have a pain somewhere, or you have some inflammation, or you have a cough, or you have some kind of symptom. A good mechanic, an honest mechanic, when you said to them, I have this light on my dashboard and it's really bothering me, could you fix the light? Right? Well, you know, a mechanic who wanted to make a lot of money for doing, you know, practically nothing could disconnect the circuit or flip a circuit breaker or a fuse or take the lamp out of the dashboard or, you know, paint it over so you don't see the light. Hey, that light will never bother you again, right? Oh, I removed your gallbladder, or I removed, you know, this other body part. We extracted that tumor. That's not a solution to the problem. That's just removing the warning sign, okay? And so what nobody gets into with any issue, okay, is really what is the root of the problem, okay? Mm-hmm. And I don't care what problem it is you want to talk about, right? People don't get down to the root. And so if I may, you know, transition from that, the root of what we're dealing with right now with COVID and all the money, because that was a question that you put out there a little while ago, the CARES Act that was passed back in 2020, and you got to scratch your head and go, you know, how did they write and pass the Patriot Act so quickly after 9/11? Well, how did they write and pass the CARES Act so quickly, you know, in 2020? Well, the CARES Act gives a 20% bonus to hospitals for anything that is done to a patient during their hospital stay, regardless of why they were in the hospital, if they merely get a positive PCR test for COVID. So a person could be in the hospital for anything, and you know, the nurse keeps coming into the room, gotta test you for COVID. If they get a positive test, whether it's a real, you know, test, the tests are ridiculous, but if they get a positive test, it's a 20% bonus, cha-ching, okay? And so when you have those kind of perverse incentives, now all of the laws are connected to the declaration of a public health emergency, not by President Trump and not by President Biden, but by dictator for life, Javier Becerra of the Health and Human Services Department. As long as there is a declared public health emergency, the money continues to flow. And so most people don't even know, you know, they call it a PHE, public health emergency. They have a whole website dedicated just to that, PHE.gov, I believe it is off the top of my head. And it's a game. That allows all of the emergency use authorization to happen. And so all of it's not just vaccines, people, it's all of the tests and the medications. And there's some outlandishly expensive therapies, like, you know, they will extract your blood and purify it and stick it back into you. The amount of money that is going into the products that have gained emergency use authorization would disappear in a heartbeat if Javier Becerra forgets to renew the 90-day public health emergency every 90 days. And that's not going to happen because he'd be a dead man, because all the pharmaceutical money would dry up. And, you know, there would be a lot of people very unhappy about that. That's where the problem is that the way everything is structured, as long as you have a declared public health emergency, all of the medications that were authorized, never shown to be safe and effective, but authorized for emergency experimental use, okay, the money flows like water.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. We're going to go to break right now, and then we will finish it out with James Roguski. want to finish out talking about the vaccine and some of the most dangerous implications of, you know, how widespread it's been in our society throughout the world. This is the Michael Parker Show. This is Owen Stevens filling in for him. We'll be back with James Roguski right after a short break.
The great energy reset has arrived. Switzerland threatens to jail people who heat their homes too much in the winter. You heard that right.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
In Switzerland, people who heat their homes too high will face fines and potentially up to 3 years in prison if energy rationing measures are put into place. And given the woeful state of Europe's energy situation, given their pursuit of net zero, expect jail time. Under the proposed plans in Switzerland, the home of the World Economic Forum in Davos, gas-heated buildings would be capped at 66 degrees Fahrenheit and water heating to saunas of only 140 Fahrenheit. Saunas and swimming pools would also be forced by government diktat to remain cold. The same controls are happening in the United States on Americans' air conditioners. They're happening throughout Europe on air conditioning as well. How are you enjoying the great energy reset of 2022? This is our future only if we allow it. For the Morano Minute, this is Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
At the World Economic Forum's 2018 annual meeting in Davos, globalist stakeholders plotted to advance a program for user-centric digital identities. This global problem is well underway, but the mainstream media fails to report it. Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum claims digital identities are urgently needed, otherwise citizens and consumers may miss out on the opportunities of the fourth industrial revolution. In reality, the globalist program of digital identities would create an Orwellian dystopia, where oppressive governments backed by multinational corporations could track and monitor every transaction that we make. The World Bank's October 2019 Identification for Development Practitioners Guide states, "Digital ID and payments platforms provide the means to move towards a cashless society. Will the bank accounts of those opposing this tyranny be frozen?"
Bringing the credibility of the TNT Radio Network directly to your device with news updates every 30 minutes Monday to Friday and on the hour on weekends. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Michael Parker Show. This is your host, Owen Stevens. I'm joined by James Roguski. We're talking about the vaccine. It has been labeled a bioweapon. We had Dr. Richard Fleming on talking about how he classifies the vaccine itself as a bioweapon, injecting this lethal spike protein. These vaccines produced by Pfizer, Moderna, and Janssen are bioweapons delivering the same toxic spike protein as the virus, but in loads up to 5 million times higher. What I want to ask, James, is what your opinion is on the health and safety of the millions of people who have taken one or three doses of this vaccine. What can we expect to happen to these people within the next 5 years?
I'm going to disappoint you with my answer because I don't speculate. I do everything I can to stick with the facts, okay? And one of the things that I'm very concerned about is that, to my knowledge, nobody really, really has done the appropriate, and by that I mean in the government, the appropriate work to do the quality assurance testing to understand what is in the injections. And so the problem is there are claims being made by the government and by the pharmaceutical companies that the vaccines have this, that, and the other in them. But there's research that has shown there are, you know, all kinds of contaminants, that the level of mRNA may be anywhere from nothing to many multiples of times, you know, that are supposed to be in there. Just within the difference between Pfizer and Moderna, Moderna has three times the level, at, they claim anyways, of the mRNA that's in there. You know, I got onto a video channel yesterday and it went on forever with video clips of people just dropping dead. Okay, and it's horrifying. But you know, I knew it was bad, but I came upon a channel that just had video clip after video clip after video clip. And so this past 2 weeks, I helped spread the word about a group of doctors who, these are my words, okay, that they use slightly different language. I came to the realization, especially after Joe Biden said, well, the pandemic is over, I realized that the new pandemic is already with us. And that is the pandemic of vaccine injury, disability, and death. And so if anybody out there is unaware that people are dropping dead and excess deaths are, you know, off the charts, and embalmers or funeral directors or, you know, morticians or people that deal with the dead are finding they're not really clots, they're fibrous structures in people's veins that are absolutely abnormal and have only started showing up since the injections, and they primarily seem to only find them in people who've been injected. If you're not aware that the new pandemic is already with us, it's undeclared, it's unrecognized. There's a group of doctors who have a website, Medical Crisis Declaration. They're taking an approach where they're saying, look, you know, as doctors, we're seeing some crazy shit, and we have never seen this before. We're seeing problems that don't respond to treatment, you know, high blood pressure and just, you know, strange things that do not respond to normal treatment. They're calling for a stopping of the shots. And so in the last 10 minutes, I'd love to talk about what I really want to talk about, which is a week ago, The Lancet published a report. They have a COVID-19 commission, you know, a group of supposedly educated, well-connected people. Their recommendations are so, in my mind, outrageous. It's like they're living on another planet. They want to fully vaccinate the entire world. The WHO came out with a little cartoon video a couple days ago. You know, it's an animated cartoon where they show people canoeing up the Amazon and carrying coolers into the Kalahari. You know, they have to have this all-out push to vaccinate, you know, everybody on the planet. These, quite frankly, insane people are doubling down. They're calling for, in their report, you know, full vaccination of everybody on the planet, more masking, more lockdowns. They want to increase the ability to track, you know, test and track and trace people. It's as if they are just completely blind, deaf, dumb, and stupid. They want to have a fund for $60 billion a year for the WHO to do all the things that I just mentioned. And my whole attitude is what we need more than anything is for everyday average people to do what they can to make themselves aware of what's going on and speak out and don't listen to the alternative media. Or the mainstream media, actually be the media. Okay, everybody's got a camera, everybody can record their voice. I set up a voicemail where people can call, and I've asked people to submit videos because the WHO actually requested that people submit videos about what we feel they should do. And so I put up a website called screwthewho.com, S-C-R-E-W, screwthewho.com, and I encourage people to say whatever it is you want to say in a video. They require that it be 90 seconds, but if you want to go for 90 minutes, knock yourself out, put it up on a platform, you know, that is less likely to be censored, and put the link in the comments on screwthewho.com, and I'll help you have a platform, because the people we're dealing with are, you know, a combination of evil, closed-minded, and quite frankly, insane. If they're calling at this point in time for more vaccines, you know, more lockdowns, more masking. It's almost unbelievable. But at this point, you know, not too much surprises me.
Yeah, all of that is absolutely true, and I agree. So within the last 6 minutes that we have, kind of go through what you're doing next, what you're excited about next, where people can find you. You know, and I think one of the most important things that we can do is outline people that that are on the front lines of this issue, because guys like Dr. Richard Fleming, guys like Peter McCullough is one of them. There's a lot of doctors, there's a lot of scientists that have not bitten into this narrative, that are not a part of what is, you know, trying to be perpetrated against the American people. Rather, they're trying to stand up against this. So give everybody a sense of what you're doing next, what you're excited for, and who are you looking to as a voice of reason in this time of darkness, in this blizzard of lies? What are some of the people Who are some of the people that our listeners can go to, that I myself can go to find some answers right now, you know, especially dealing with everything that we're dealing with COVID and this vaccine and what is undoubtedly going to be a very difficult time coming up for all Americans, especially. I mean, we've got so many issues, let alone from COVID and the vaccine. We've got rising inflation. We've got, you know, the Ukraine issue. We've got a whole lot of issues coming up right now. We even have hurricane season. It's like this perfect storm of all of these things that are happening right now. So, you know, who are the voices of reason right now? Who are you going to get your information so we can spread that around and make sure people are educated properly, because ignorance is the problem. But if you're educated and you have, you know, these practical solutions in mind, then you're going to be safer.
The FLCCC.net, okay, group of doctors, have been in existence for, you know, probably 2 years now. And so for the simple, straightforward information, FLCCC.net, Dr. Ben Marble started MyFreeDoctor.com and has treated hundreds of thousands of people. You know, I've gotten to know some doctors like Dr. Shankara Chetty, who's in South Africa, and many other doctors around the world. If you end up on my Substack, I think I wrote an article about Dr. Chetty way back in February. You know, when you deal with or you get to communicate with doctors who have had tens of thousands of patients, you know, show up at their offices for COVID, and not one of them has even gone to the hospital because they got appropriate advice, you realize just how crazy the world is. So if you go to jamesroguski.substack.com, I mean, everything that I've written since February is all right there. The group that is behind medicalcrisisdeclaration.com, medicalcrisisdeclaration.com, they are going to be having a new meeting this weekend. And what they have done is what, you know, it's amazing that it's taken this long, but they've essentially said, look, the shots have to stop, okay? Because they're witnessing the damage that the side effect of the injections are doing. And, you know, you're not going to solve the problem if you keep causing the problem. And the cause of the problems that they're seeing are not people getting COVID. They are people getting the shots. Yeah. And then having, you know, you name the problem. I mean, it's everything.
Right.
And you know, quite frankly, that's part of the design. I'm sorry.
What, yeah. Yeah. I think that's all right, everybody. That was James. Yeah. Keep going. Tell everybody where they can find you, what you're doing next.
My phone number is 310-619-3055. People think I'm crazy for doxing my own personal phone number, but I've met some of the most wonderful people because of it. And I encourage everyone to learn what they can learn about what the WHO is planning, because, you know, they're doubling down. They want more control, more power, more lockdowns, more jabs.
Yeah.
Go to screwthewho.com and consider submitting a video or a voice recording or just a comment. Silence is consent. So stop being silent.
Yeah, absolutely, everybody. That was James Roguski. Very grateful to have him on. Very insightful. Absolutely thrilled to have him as a guest. We will have him on much, much more, as well as my first hour guest, Dr. Richard Fleming. Really a phenomenal conversation today, guys, exposing some of the dangers of these vaccines. You know, the lie, the blizzard of lies that has been perpetrated against the American people. Do not be fearful. Do not be confused, because you know, all of this information is out there. Take it upon yourself to individually investigate for yourself and develop those conclusions, everybody, because the power is in your hands as an individual American citizen, as a citizen of the world, everybody. Thank you for tuning into the Michael Parker Show. This is Owen Stevens signing off.